So let's go through the crash site in Genesis 3, and you just follow along in your Bible. And actually, in my Bible, if you can see right there, I actually have noted these four lies. I have them just what I'm going to show you on this next slide. What Satan wants us to do is to doubt God. And basically, doubting God comes in four different directions. In verse 1 of chapter 3, look what Satan says. Has God indeed said? It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Now pause. In my Bible, I've written right next to serpent in Genesis 3:1, in little tiny letters, I've written Revelation 12:9. If we didn't have Revelation 12:9, then we could endlessly argue, what is the serpent? Is the serpent a symbol? Is the serpent, you know, what is going on here? Well, Revelation 12:9 says the serpent back here in the Garden of Eden that tempted Eve was Satan. So the serpent, I wrote, chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 9, is the devil, and he's more cunning. So what this is Satan using an animal, a beautiful animal. Before the curse and the fall, serpents seem to have walked uprightly, were beautiful. Whenever you find a woman talking to a snake, you know it's not a snake like we know, because most people hate and run from and are scared to death of snakes. They don't engage in conversation. So this woman saw this beautiful creature, and he talks to her, and it's the mouthpiece, the vessel, the tool that Satan used. But what does Satan say? Number one, has God indeed said? What Satan wants is for us to doubt God. Doubt God, and doubting God, is when we doubt his word. This is how God speaks to us. When I open the scripture, I hear the voice of God. This morning, in the dark, 5:06 a.m., I got up, and I began working on my verses, going into my 52 greatest chapters of the Bible, Bible study. That's another course that I teach, an overview of all the doctrines and theology and everything in the Bible. And as I was reading the Word of God, I could hear the voice of God, not audibly. My soul was learning from the King of the universe. Satan wants us to doubt God's word. Satan wants us to believe God's word is just like any other book. It's nice, it's helpful, it's not absolute. He wants us to question God's word. He wants us to avoid neglect or whatever it takes to get us out of contact with God. He just wants us offline of being connected to God. Number two, look at the second part of verse 1. It says, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That was Satan's second little infectious lie. Doubt God's goodness. He wants us to doubt God, and then we doubt God when we doubt his goodness. Satan wants us to believe that God is trying to hold out on us. I mean, that's his lie that has tied up so many people. He's robbing us of some good times. He's out of touch with our needs. I have met, in my 40 years of pastoring, I met so many men that strayed from their marriage because they said, God doesn't understand my needs. No, actually, God does understand your needs. And as the scriptures say, the eyes of a man are never satisfied. And if your needs are enlarging kind of in a reptilian way, you know, reptiles grow bigger every year, so does sin, so does lust. And Satan is always saying, God doesn't understand. He's out of touch with your needs. He just missed the disaster you went through. He doesn't know, you know, how much you're going through. He messed up on how he made you. He means well, but he doesn't quite have everything under control. That's an attack of the character of God. One of the attributes of God, of the 20 plus attributes that we've looked at many times, one of them is God's goodness. And God always chooses what's best. There's a little saying I remember as a teenager, my youth pastor used to say, that God leaves the best to those who leave the choice to him. If you leave the choice to God, in other words, you say, God, in my life, not my will, but yours be done. In my life, I want your kingdom, your rule. I want to follow your will. When you leave the choice to him, he gives you what's best. That's his goodness. That's a direct attack of Satan. One of the great truths about our God is his moral attribute, that God is good. But thirdly, look at verse 4. See in the slide, doubt God's authority. That's Genesis 3 and verse 4. Satan, prior to that, was just kind of sowing seeds of doubt. Now, in his third attack to Eve, he directly confronts God, and he says, "You will not surely die." And what he's doing is doubting God's authority. Satan wants us to doubt God, and we doubt God when we doubt his authority. Satan wants us to believe God is not in charge. We're in charge, going our own way, religion. God isn't interested in our choices. We're in charge. God will not make us accountable for our deeds. We're in charge. See, it's like, it doesn't matter what I do. It's okay. I'm on my own. God just lets me do anything. No. It's a direct attack on the character of God. One of the great truths about God is another attribute of God beyond his goodness is he is sovereign. And what that means is that God absolutely has chosen the one way, the one truth, the one life, his plan. And God, we doubt his authority when we doubt that he is in charge. And then verse 5, we doubt God's plan. Satan says, hey, if you take part in this fruit, your eyes will be opened. What Satan wants us to do is doubt God's plan. He wants us to believe there's a better way to immortality. Do you see how religion is so tied to this? That we doubt God's plan. We say, well, maybe there are more ways to God. Maybe there's another way to God. Maybe there's multiple roads. Maybe well-meaning, you know, good intention, kind of nice people. And God says, no, there isn't a better way to immortality. There's not an easier way to glory. There's not a quicker way to happiness. See, doubting God's plan. What's an example? Well, it was just announced this week. What are we on? May 1st. Today is May 1st. It was just announced this week that we're at the ultimate highest point in American history of people not being married. They said people are living together with partners, and we're at the lowest amount of recorded people being married as a percentile of our country. Did you know that's doubting God's plan? It's, again, this is an attack on the very word of God. God's word is sufficient. One of the characteristics God gave us about his word is that everything God wants us to know about a particular doctrine or situation is in the scripture. And he's revealed his plan for marriage, his plan for the family, his plan for our career, his plan for how to get to heaven. It's in his word.